It is a delight to be here again in this place. Is that a little better? I've enjoyed being here at the Unity Baptist Church. Amen. In the great metropolis of Amory, Mississippi. It's been a delight to be a part of this meeting. I am amazed, and I'll use a Bible term here, I'm amazed at the manifold grace of God.
Amen.
Amazed. Different people with different personalities and from different parts of the world with different frames of reference about life and about everything else. And God has a way and a place for every one of us. I'm just a plowboy off the farm. That's what I know the most about. But God has a place for me.
Amen.
And he has a place for you.
Yes.
And the main thing is to know your place, run your race, and make much of grace.
Amen.
I want to read a couple of scriptures today without much comment. I think they are very clear. I want to read just a couple of places. One in the book of 1 Timothy. Another in the book of 1 Peter. And I'm going to approach my time a little bit different. I'm going to read these scriptures. Make small comments. And then I have five questions I want to ask. And then I have a story I'm going to tell. And we'll go to lunch. Now that's what I have on my mind. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 11 and following. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift of God that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly to thee. Why? That thy profiting may appear to all.
Amen.
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All of the scriptures that I have read are speaking to those who occupy or would occupy a leadership role in the Lord's church. This term elder, the term pastor, several different words are used to describe the man that God would set in leadership over his church. There is an office, and there's a gift that goes with that office. There are guidelines and guardrails as to who should occupy such an office. We are familiar with all that. Sometimes our spiritual gift may lose its sharpness. It's meetings like these that will stir that gift to freshness again. And that's why we need it. A friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Sometimes we take on friendly fire. Sometimes we take on fire from the enemy. But all of us need our gift stirred.
Yes, we do.
And that's what these meetings are about. We're not exactly focused on straightening somebody out. But in the context of preaching and worshiping together and observing one another, we'll all get corrected somehow. And we'll be better for it.
Right.
So, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Now, Peter, in what he wrote about this particular office, he used the word oversight. Now, that doesn't mean you've looked and missed something. That's not the idea behind this word. Overseer. If we were in the secular world, boss. That's common word. I jotted these words down in my Bible. This is my old preaching Bible for the last nearly 50 years. He used the word oversight. That was in 1 Peter 5. There's a lot of things come before oversight. The first thing a man needs is sight. And then he will need some insight. Yes, sir. And then he will need some foresight. And only then is he ready to take the oversight. You got that sequence? Now, I want to ask questions. Early on in my time of preaching, I found myself in the same area as a preacher who would. This preacher that I'm talking about was Dr. Harold T. Bryson. Don't know if you ever met Dr. Bryson. I was pastor of the New Zion Baptist Church in Walnut Grove, Mississippi. He was pastor of First Baptist Church, Carthage, Mississippi. Here I am, a 19-year-old preacher. He wasn't Dr. Bryson then, he's just Brother Bryson. But he was working on his doctorate at New Orleans. He would later leave First Baptist, and for many, many years, he would be instructing young preachers at New Orleans Seminary. He was good about methods. Powerful preacher, powerful preacher. He had a method of preaching. Everybody has his own method. Dr. Bryson would ask what he called probing questions. If you've never read his book, he wrote a book about his method. It's called Preaching to Meet People's Needs. I don't mind recommending it. Very helpful. Amen. Preaching to meet people's needs. Somehow, as preachers, we need to be able to take divine truth, our human personality, give it to people at the point of need. Where when they have heard and they go out, it's in such a package they can take it out with them. Take it home with them. As early young preacher, I began to observe how preachers preach. I discovered I could remember some preachers preaching. I couldn't remember other people's preaching. And I said, boy, now isn't that something? If I can remember, other people can remember. I need to learn how to preach in such a way that people remember. It's wonderful to to hear a man preach and feel good while he's preaching. I like that too. But it's workable if I can get it. Or that person has got it in such a form that he can take it home. Now, my questions this morning are going to be what Dr. Bryson would call probing questions. And he suggested one of the best ways, and I don't practice this all the time, one of the best ways to start a sermon is ask a probing question. I got five questions. If you are a leader or a preacher, a communicator of divine truth, I want to ask five questions, and they are probing questions. That word probing means they're not surface. They pierce. They pierce. You ready for number one? Are you using people to build your ministry? Or using your ministry to build people? Lots of difference in those two things. I'll give you time to jot them down if you want to think about them a while. Because you might have to think about that a while. Should I repeat it? Are you using people to build your ministry? Or are you building people with your ministry? We don't need to use people. See, we tend to love things and use people. And we ought to be using things and building people. Question number two. You read in the Gospel of Luke or Matthew or Mark or somewhere, where there was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." Here's the question. Do you want to be a voice or just an echo? You know what an echo is. Now God is looking for some people, some men who give a voice to his word. What a text needs is a voice. Give it a voice. Don't be satisfied to just be an echo. I read when the Lord Jesus had finished his Sermon on the Mount, people were amazed because he spake as having authority, not as the scribe. The scribes would talk about precedent, much like lawyers in a courtroom. If you ever have to go to a courtroom, I promise you, what the lawyers talk about at your court will not be your case. There'll be less said about your case than anything. What they're going to talk about is what so-and-so did 50 years ago about a similar situation. But it's not your situation. They base their defense or prosecution based on what somebody else said about it. How did they know all of that? Well, their offices are filled with books of case law, and they see how laws have been applied and this and that and other. And it's amazing how many lawyers spend all the day, and their staff spends all the day searching for precedent and what this and all of this kind of thing, and they'll bring all of that stuff. And you'll say, well, why am I here? None of this is about me. It's not about my case. But boy, when you get to the end of it, they're going to make it about yours. Now, authority comes from truth. I heard a person some time ago use an adjective that does not go with the word truth. He said, new truth. Truth is neither new nor old. Truth is ageless. Ageless. Truth, by its nature, is authoritative. Truth, by its nature, is irritating. Isn't it? It'll make you itch. Irritating. Truth, it's an amazing thing. It has built in it freedom. Freedom. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Difference in being set free and made free. It's liberating. You don't ever have to wonder if you've got a hold of the truth and the truth has got a hold of you. You don't have to search and wonder about, hey, look, just speak the truth in love, but speak it with authority. Don't be an echo. Be a voice.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Be a voice. Now, third question. Are you characterized by competition as a competitor, or by contrition? As servants of the Lord, we're not competing with one another. We ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Think soberly, according as God hath given to every man the measure of grace. We all have different measures. We need to respect that. We're not in competition. We're complementary. As colors are complementary with one another, so the servants of God are complementary one of another. Elisha goes with Elijah. John the Baptist goes with Jesus. Paul goes along with Peter. Now he write and rebuke Peter once in a while. But they're not on opposite sides. They're on the same side. Some of the preaching that's done me the most good is getting me from one end to the other. So, are we characterized by competition, or are we characterized by contrition? Are you doing what you're doing for income or outcome? Do we preach for an income? You say, well, preacher, the ox, he's worthy of, I understand that. Brother Paul discussed that quite at length, but he said, I'm not doing that because I won't let anybody be such an influence to control me. I'm going to stay at liberty. I'm going to pass along something that I'm convinced is needful in our times. The Apostle Paul was a bivocational preacher.
Yes, he was.
He was a tent maker. But he was a truth teller. In our times and in our society, our world, I would say to any and every young preacher or middle-aged preacher, if you don't have a vocation, get some training. I'm talking about other than what you're doing in the Lord's work. Get some training. Find something that you can do outside of the realm of church work in order to make a living for your family, in order to plant a few trees for the day you're going to need to sit down in the shade. Because if your intention is to be God's man and preach the word of God as it is to people as we are, you're going to have to do some of self-financing.
That's right. Yes,
Don't get in a position and don't put your family in a position. So if brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so don't like you, and they say, I'm going to dismiss you if you don't do such and such. Don't you get yourself where you're at the mercy of something like that. It's okay to be at the mercy of God, but don't put yourself at the mercy of a congregation of people, no matter how good they are. If income comes along with your preaching, thank God for it. Use it wisely. Put back some of it if it's enough to put back. But preach for the outcome, not the income. And the last question is somewhat tied in with that question. Are you all about feeding the flock? Are you about feed? Or are you about greed? Peter said, feed the flock of God. There's lots of philosophies about church growth. You can go to any bookstore if there's one still around. We used to have some honest-to-God bookstores. Now we got trinket shops. Yeah. And everything under the sun. You can buy everything but a can of beer in a Baptist bookstore. I'm telling you the truth. You might find some of that in the back room. I don't know, but there used to be, you could go in a bookstore and find help. But anyway, is your intention to feed? If you don't know something about feeding, you'll never get far in leading. They go together. You say, well, preacher, churches grow by what? What makes churches grow? What is your answer? Most people think they grow by multiplication. And that word is used in the Bible. It's a Bible word. In the book of Acts, the Lord added, the number of the disciples were multiplied, all that. But there's an underlying deal. Churches only grow by nutrition. Look at these boys. You know how they got where they are? Nutrition. They're growing off good. Getting good nutrition. Growing up on the farm. Not in the early days when we were milking by hand, sitting on a stool. But after the herd grew up, we had about 75, 80 cows we milked every day. We found out that our cows would give more milk in a relaxed atmosphere. Well fed. Relax. Put a radio in the barn. Be out there at 3:30 in the morning. This is Jabez on Mull. You remember that? Jabez on Mull. Does that name mean anything to anybody except Brother Ernest? Mull Singing Convention, Knoxville, Tennessee. Playing Stamps Baxter music. to the cows. But we overheard it. I never thought in my life, I said, I don't know who that person is. I wonder if he looks like a mule. His name is Mo. Yeah, little old boy, milking cow. Growing up, listening to Yabaz or Mo, Landlady Mo. Little did I ever think. Years down the road, I'd preach, average preaching 8 to 10 weeks in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I got to meet Yabaz. But that provided a contented atmosphere. You feed your cows good. In the barn and out of the barn. That's the way we did it. But you provide a contented atmosphere. They're much more behaved. They're relaxed. Boy, the milk just flows. You'll have a lot less trouble in your church if you feed them good. One of the best things you ever learn as a Christian is this. You've got to eat. You've got to eat. You're going to develop as a Christian. You've got to eat. Now, once you learn you have to eat, the next thing, you have to learn how to feed yourself. Can't depend on your preacher, your Sunday school teacher to do all the feeding. You're going to have to find out how to feed yourself. How'd these boys get to growing like that? Well, the mama fed them to start with. Daddy fed them to start with. Then they learn how to feed themselves. The next thing, learn how to teach somebody else that they've got to eat. And then help them along till they learn to feed themselves. And just keep that going along. After you learn, you have to eat. Then you learn how to feed yourself. Learn how to feed somebody else. It's a lot about nutrition. This matter of church growth. Nutrition. Well, I got my mind in the right place. I'm fixing to go to dinner. So nutrition's a good point to stop with. That's just 5 little probing questions. Now I want to tell you a little story. I when I was a young preacher, I would oftentimes use some other people's material and I wouldn't say nothing about those other people. Nobody in here but me ever did that. As I've gotten older, I like to talk about the people I get things from, if I remember who they were. I've got a hold of some things, I don't know where I got them. Biggest file I've got is from Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous. But I got this story. I'm going to tell you this story from a man who greatly influenced me in biblical study, and that was Dr. Huber Drumright. Anybody besides me ever heard of that fellow? Dr. Huber Drumright. He's out of the state of Arkansas. He told a story about a family in bygone years that lived in an upscale neighborhood. And they had a bird for a pet. How many of you ever heard of a parakeet? Bird. Thing lived in a cage up in the house. Bird in the house. Well, this family was kind of upscale, you know, and they had a maid that came on certain days. And she would clean the house and do the washing and maybe do some cooking. You know how that operates. Well, sometimes when she would come, you know, she'd need to clean the bird cage out. She'd just let the bird out in the house. Bird just be flying around the house, maybe lighting here and there as the maid went about her work. Well, on a certain day, she went to do the housekeeping chores, and it had come a big snow. Snow laying all outside the house. Everything frozen up on the outside of the house. She was in here doing her work, going about things, the bird just flying around. And from time to time, as she would get garbage together and things to be discarded, she'd take them outside, put them in their place. And when she wasn't looking, this bird went outside. She didn't know the bird went outside. When the bird flew out the door, just immediately, because of the low temperature, bird froze, fell flat to the ground. Well, the maid kept gathering up garbage and gathering up garbage. After a while, she got a load of garbage, and she went outside and throwed it where it normally went, and it went right on top of the bird. She didn't know the bird was there. But when she got to looking for the bird, she couldn't find it. Well, the temperature being cold when the bird flew out, froze. The garbage being warm, because it's in the house, she throwed the hot garbage on the froze bird, and the bird started kicking around, chirping around, poking his head out, stuff like that. And about that time, Big Tomcat showed up, heard the chirping, saw the movement, dug down in there, found that bird, picked him up, shook him off, swallowed. There's two lessons and one moral to this story. Lesson number one, everyone who throws garbage on you is not your enemy. Number two, everyone that picked you up and cleaned you off is not your friend. And the moral is this. When somebody throws garbage on you, keep your mouth shut. Now, how many of you understand my message this morning? You've been a good crowd of listeners, and I appreciate it. This has been a good host church. Amen. I've enjoyed coming. I've learned some things about some people and a little bit about the Lord. And that's good. Amen. The accommodations have been good. The food's been wonderful. The hospitality has been great. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Let's go to dinner.
But you've got 10 more minutes. You might want to ask somebody.